Welcome, welcome to Radio Linguistica this Tuesday afternoon. We are very happy to have with us a longtime official, somebody who knows the house very, very well, Norman Jardine. Good afternoon, Mr. Jardine.
Good afternoon, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making yourself available. I'm aware you're rather busy these days. You are, for those who forgot, a principal advisor in DG Human Resources and Security. You have a long experience of the madhouse, as we can say for insiders and perhaps beyond. And you've been through the 2000 reform of the administration, busy with training and communication within the commission. Do you remember a founding moment, or do you have one every day? The way Mr. Romero said, well, every day is a founding moment.
No, but I think that's particularly true. I think that's particularly true. So I couldn't put my mind on one particular founding moment. I mean, I'd have one reaction already that, I mean, I've never founded a madhouse. You know that before I came to the commission, I had, I think I had 43 different jobs, you know, like my father. And when I came here, I thought this was tremendous. I'm still waiting to see the madhouse to a certain extent. And then I came in 99, you know, just before the 2000 reform. I was never heavily involved in it, but it was certainly a founding moment because it led to a lot of opportunities. And that's how I got into this business of training and communication. So to a certain extent, the founding moment was around 2000 at some time.
And now, of course, you have been, I suppose, watching very closely what was happening in the commission under the extraordinary circumstances of the COVID crisis. And we observe that the commission has never stopped delivering, delivering its political commitments, catching up with the unexpected, which was pretty much what it was all about. And according to you, what was the key to what we call in our jargon the resilience of the staff and of the institution? How did we do it? Do you know?
Well,
do you have an idea?
Yeah, I mean, I have five or six reflections on that. And based on a number of elements that I've picked up over the years. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise. I mean, I think the commission, I mean, you heard the president say it at times when she made her video, her videos early on. I mean, our staff have great commitment to the organization. And from time to time throughout the years, we have used other organizations to run surveys and provide feedback. And one of the things that always comes to the top is that our staff are absolutely committed to Europe. And of course, that's a big issue. So I think that when the COVID thing came in, you really had a collective effort from people to show what they can do, to show their commitment, to show their support for each other. And many of them took the opportunity to show this competence that sometimes in the organization is either hidden or kept down. So I think that these are the elements, I think, that help, you know, commitment, sense of duty, strong sense of duty in our organization, their individual competencies at whatever level they had them, you know, which allowed the whole organization to a certain extent to step up to the plate. And I think there was a positive side. There is a positive side still, of course, for our people, because I think that if you... Well, certainly when you look at the productivity, I mean, we had a lot of work. We delivered a lot of work still under crisis situation. And I would guess that if you had measured the engagement during the height of the crisis, and of course it's far from over now, the engagement level of people is very high. They were super engaged. Of course, there was a downside to it. I mean, you can't be super engaged forever, and you know, we are aware of that, but I think those were the issues, you know, less control to a certain extent, allowing people to do what they're good at, and then the benefits were there. So I think that's what was behind it. And maybe another thing just to recognize, And of course, we have talked to other organizations about what they've done and how they handled it too. But it was also great to see the support for each other, you know, amongst our staff. You know, particularly the light things like the, I don't know, the online coffees, the videos, the silly videos, the humor, etc., which are both great signs for the organization, but also they point to a potential that we should make the most of, you know, as, when we come to a time when this crisis is eventually over.
What I understand from what you're saying, in a way, this is a moment of revelation for some, for the organization in general, and perhaps this is an opportunity to draw the proper lessons from what happened. People managed the crisis very much with their own means sometimes, because you had to improvise all the time and adapt. And this is the time when DGHR is launching, and you're in charge of that, a broad in-house consultation to its HR strategy, which is due for early 2021. So we should take it, you want to listen to the staff, but also management, of course, unions, and maybe beyond that. But why, or what are the priorities for this strategy? Is it give the floor to the staff and make sure nothing is forgotten, that we do not consider let's go on forever, 24 hours, 7 days a week, which is the way people feel sometimes. And will this confinement have a lasting impact on the way, on the work of the future? But in what way? I mean, back to what normal?
This is a great range. Great range of questions. Maybe the first thing, of course, a pretty obvious thing that, you know, it's just a coincidence that we look at the new HR strategy or a proposed new strategy at the time of crisis. Of course, you know, this request came from the president to Commissioner Hahn at the start of this commission. And we started to look at it before COVID hit in March. So a coincidence that the work is going on. Certainly, I mean, as you rightfully indicate, that the COVID crisis, you know, terrible for the world, terrible for organizations, terrible for people, allowed a little bit of door opening and opportunity for the organization. I mean, the best example being telework. You know that for years and years and years we have done telework. There's always been in certain parts of the organization a hesitancy. But then you can clearly see that it works super effectively. So there is opportunity here in the crisis. But the main drivers for it were not COVID. The main drivers of the exercise in delivering a new strategy were based around the work of the organization. I mean, typically, like any organization, the HR function has a role to do two main things, I think. It has to help make the organization stay successful, that's number one. And then it has to help in making sure that the staff are satisfied, they are happy, you know, they deliver their best. And these two things together are typically the signs of a healthy organization. And you know it, I mean, we all know it, we have even more ambitious objectives every year. We need staff to deliver. They're the only ones who deliver on a daily basis. They create, they contribute. Without people, you are lost in any organization. So we need to focus on them and listen carefully to them in terms of what they want and need, and not just think about what we as an organization want and need. And that's the way I think that most organizations are going. You know, they co-create. They involve people, they are collaborative, because they know that you have a better outcome if you do that. Now, maybe just to add a couple of things, we're doing the strategy because we recognize not only that we have a lot of work to do and that we need a specific type of person to deliver that work, and the battle for talent and the battle for people is hard. Every organization wants the best. We want the best. So how do we attract them? And of course,
how do you get the best
how do
from
you get
people?
yeah how do you get the best? I mean, how do you get the best? You make sure that people are aware of your organization, be it Coca-Cola or the commission. You make sure that people know what the benefits might be for them of working in an organization like us, i.e. commission or Coca-Cola. You make sure that they know where to go to apply for jobs here, and that we spread our wings so that we get people to the organization from across Europe. And I want to add another thing. Without adding too much jargon to it, but the world of work is changing. It has changed amazingly fast in recent years. Technology, big aspect. You know, particularly, and I heard it in the session that we had with your services the other day. I mean, technology has a big effect on the world of work. Demographics, five generations of people in an organization typically now, and the expectations from people when they come in. They're also massive and completely different when I joined the civil service 30 years ago. So these are things that can only be addressed by looking at the way we manage our people, asking them to suggest and propose how we might do things differently. And if you ask anybody, I think, in the commission, do you think we could do things differently? They would all say, absolutely. And I've got some ideas for you. So that's what we're doing with the strategy. We're in the very early stages. We are consulting. We are trying to touch and listen to everybody, from the new recruits that are coming in to the people who are retired, and all the way through all sites, all locations, all grades, to see what they want. After which time, of course, we will merge that with what the organization needs, but hopefully come up with a collective approach rather than one that's based top-down and people getting told what to do.
So as you said, you met, and this is why I said HR comes to DGT, which was, of course, a metaphor, because this is all virtual, but with more than 100 people at once discussing and being divided into several groups and then reporting on the exchanges. Now, you've been in different services. I believe commission officials have testified to being called anytime, expected to work late at night for translators who have productivity targets, I mean, number of pages. Translators, it feels, and this is... very common expression of concern. They confess to being overworked, understaffed, expected to work, as I said, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and getting little compensation for that. Is that a general, and also we had, well, under the perspective of staff cuts, is that what you heard? I know this is too early to sum up and draw conclusions as yet, but have people taken to heart to express where the limits are? Because this is important for an organization. Do you believe they express themselves freely, and they said something which must be taken into account for the next future, I mean, the near future?
Well, I share a couple of things that are possibly generic across the organization, although every service, of course, is unique and has its particular issues. I take everything that is said in these consultations as genuine, honest, and real. It's people's perceptions of the organization, what they have to do, given the given the importance of the work of the commission, I would not be surprised, and I'm not surprised, that there are some committed people who give a lot to the organization and end up in a situation where they find themselves doing far too much work, far too many hours. I mean, you've probably had it in the past, I've had it in the past, etc. It's just an issue when you have competent, motivated people that feel a duty to work, and that can lead to overwork. It can lead to overwork. Now, I am not saying on one hand that I'm blaming the people, because absolutely true as well is that any organization, and we must be no different, have to focus a little bit on how we allocate our staff to the appropriate areas in line with organizational need. You know, and in a very general sense, well, you know, maybe we could be better at that. Maybe we could be better at that. We are very aware, particularly in the COVID crisis, of the dangers of, you know, being on all the time. You know, we're using technology with no great separation between work and outside life. So, you know, if people put it forward in the consultation, of course, we need to address it. And if it's a corporate issue, fine, we address it at a corporate level. And if not, and then it should be addressed at local level. And of course, in DGT, if we talk about DGT, we will also have, or you also have in place, a local HR strategy that deals with those things on top of the corporate strategy as it comes in. So, you know, a long-winded answer to say, well, you know, I understand it. And when it's recognized or people air their views, we need to react to it in the appropriate way. But I'm not surprised because we don't, I mean, we're a unique organization, but we're not that different from any other organization. And these type of issues come up in any organization at some time. I'm not defending them, but I'm not surprised by them.
So there will be now, this is a risky period as well. We have to find a way, a gradual way towards a normal, which is balanced. And I believe the current perspective is, I hope, finding a fair deal so that people can work in an optimal way, but not destroying their private life, and a good arrangement for the institution, because we are all attached to our institution and the work it does. Now, what kind of a new normal can we look forward to? And maybe we could discuss the particular issue of office work. You know, people have been using their a corner of their sitting room or a bedroom and keeping the kids away. And of course, mobility is easier with teleworking. Sanitary issues, of course, is a definite constraint. But we also have to look forward to the near future and decide what are we going to do with the offices? Are we going to do away with offices, or are we going to have a strong reduction? I mean, this is one of the key dimension for the fair trade-off that we hope you will be managing or helping to manage very soon by next year.
Well, I mean, I take something that you said before, you know, that we are in the early stages of consultation. There is no decision on any of these issues at the moment. But, you know, as we go out to other organizations, which we do, to see what they're doing and how we can benchmark against other organizations, I think there are some very generic things that are bound to come into our conversations in line with what you say. Maybe in three or four different ways. Number one, we have proven that telework works. Remote working works. But at the same time, people need social connection. They need people. They need to be able to talk to people and not just for working purposes, but social. What does that mean down the line? I think it probably means down the line that we have some sort of hybrid approach, like most organizations, with a balance between working in offices and working at home. And there was a great quote that I read in one of the articles recently that said, you know, to get the best out of people at work. And again, that sounds a little bit strong, but it's true. You know, every organization wants to get the best out of its people. But to get the best out of your people, we need to allow people to choose when they work, how they work, and where they work. Because if you can do that, yeah, you're letting people show themselves and be themselves. And when they're given that freedom, they perform. Yeah? Like, you know, like you, like me, we perform as long as we don't have so much control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of offices, well, I don't know, but I look to other organizations and see what they do. You know, they have this balance. They know fine well that unless you're a Twitter or Google or some big tech company, you don't send all your people to work at home forever and ever and ever. No, I think that most organizations have a balance. People want to come to work. We need to come to work for creative work, for innovation, for relationship, etc. But then again, in general, when I look at the other organizations, you make a good point, Catherine. It is, and it's around trade-offs. If an organization has a lot of expensive buildings, maybe like the Commission, we need to look at how we use these buildings. We would certainly, I'm sure, never get in a situation where we have lots of empty buildings all over the place. This was never going to work. So we need to get this balance between buildings, technology, I think, and behavior. And why do I say that? Because clearly, if people are working from home, they should have the same equipment, same consistent equipment, the same ergonomic situation that you have in the office. And when I look at other organizations, you have this trade-off. We will give you X if you give me Y. And I would be surprised if that doesn't come into play when we start to look at the feedback from our people, because our people are they're super competent, they're very well educated, and they are definitely not stupid. So they're very, very bright, and they can see what's coming in the world. And I read the feedback from these focus groups, and I can smell to a certain extent, I think, the way that we might go, which is all good, I think.
Well, super. So I understand we want to make this period a best the best opportunity for staff and institution to work together better, and based on this idea of a fair balance of obligations and opportunities. We have exhausted our time.
Ah, so quickly.
Went very quick. It went very quickly, and it was not boring, which is why. Thank you very much, Norman.
Thank you,
Very good
Catherine, for
point.
the opportunity. It's super interesting. And I look forward to hearing it, of course. And
Oh.
I look forward to learning a bit more about podcasting because I'm super interested in this. It's not something that we use a lot in the Commission, particularly in the HR domain. And I would like to experiment a little bit more. Maybe ideally as the consultation process moves on. So thanks very much, Catherine.
Ah, super, super good news. Thank you. Good
Okay,
luck.
thanks. Bye. Bye.
Bye bye.